This is John McMurray of the Society for American Baseball Research on August the 13th, 2019, and I'm speaking today with former Major League pitcher Mike Harkey, who is now the bullpen coach for the New York Yankees. And Mike, I wondered if you could tell me how you got interested in baseball.
Like every other kid, early in age, T-ball, Little League, Pony, American Legion, just kept going up high school, college, kept going up the ranks.
And when did you first get the sense that you might be able to be a Major League player?
I probably got that sense after my sophomore year in college. I had a really, really good season, and I started getting a lot of phone calls and a lot of interest from scouts from different major league teams.
Now, you attended Cal State Fullerton. What was it that made you decide to play baseball there?
Well, I was actually kind of an interesting story. I was playing in high school. I played at Ganesha High School, which is in Pomona, and our rival school was Gary High School. And they had a player there that went from Gary High School to Cal State Fullerton named Shane Turner. And his head coach actually saw me and told Augie Garrido about me. And after that, it was history.
Now, you were drafted in the first round by the Cubs in 1987, a team that had, at that time, had not been in the World Series in decades. And as a first-round pick, did you feel a lot of pressure to turn the franchise around?
No. I didn't feel that kind of pressure there. I mean, I knew I wanted to win, but in the 4-5 years I was there, I never had that opportunity. It was kind of an up-and-down career for me. A lot of injuries, especially early on with the Cubs.
Can you describe some of the injuries that you went through? I know you had sort of when you first came up in 1987, it wasn't quite the start that you imagined.
Well, I got called up in 88.
88, rather, I'm sorry.
88, and then in 1989, after struggling in spring, Don Zimmer sent me down. I ended up hurting my knee in AAA. The only year they went to the playoffs, by the way, and had surgery, ended my season there. Went to Venezuela to play winter ball to get my innings up. Went to spring training and made the team out of spring training, and ended up having a really good year, winning 12 games that year. Then the following year, in my third or fourth start, I hurt my shoulder, put me out 16 months, came back from that. I was 4-0 at the time and goofing around with Sean Dunston in the outfield, tried to do a backflip and blew out my knee. And that was another 14 months of rehab. Came back from that rehab and won 10 more games. And after that, I ended up moving around a lot of different teams after that.
When you go from college to the major leagues, what's the biggest adjustment that you have to make?
The speed of the game, probably. Definitely, it's just the game is much faster. You need to react a little bit quicker. You have to refine a lot of things. You have to be able to make adjustments. I think, the old saying is so true, it's a lot easier to get to the big leagues than it is to stay in the big leagues. And I think any major leaguer will say that that's probably been the toughest thing for them, to be able to stick in the majors, because you're constantly making adjustments.
Now, when you pitch to someone like Joe Girardi, do you allow them to call the game, or are you essentially taking the lead and saying, I want to throw these pitches in these situations?
No, it depends. I mean, Joe caught a lot, probably more than half of my starts in the major leagues, but there were times when I shook him off. There were times when we didn't agree. I mean, but that all came with it. But I think if there was any catcher that I had throughout my career, he was probably the one I trusted the most.
And so tell me about some of the players. I mean, you came to the Cubs and they had Mark Grace and Ryan Sandberg. You mentioned Dunston, Andre Dawson. What's it like going to a club like which has those kinds of stars?
At first, it was pretty intimidating. But the guys, after getting to know them, were very welcoming and very easy to get along with, so it made it the transition from being a minor leaguer to a major leaguer very easy.
What was it like having Greg Maddux as a teammate from a young age? Was he someone that you had a sense would become what he eventually became?
Yeah. The 4 or 5 years that we were together, Greg and I, you know, we became pretty close. Our families became pretty close. We still talk to this day. But he's a lot. The things that we talked about, the things that he did, has a lot to do with the philosophies that I have now as far as what I try to pass on to other young pitchers.
And what exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean sort of the way that he was strategically approach hitters, or do you mean something else?
Everything. The way he went about knowing himself mechanically, the way he went about pitch sequencing hitters, reading swings, everything. I mean, we talked about it all, and he's one of the guys that very, very easy to talk to when it came to talking about pitching. He made it very simple.
You know, a lot of times people think about Greg Maddux that he was kind of one of a kind, that other people can't quite emulate him, but you're sort of saying the opposite, that he has a lot of techniques that people could put into practice.
Yeah, I mean, he made it easy to talk about and easy to understand, but obviously what he did was second to none. I mean, winning 15 games for 17 straight years was, I don't think it'll ever be done again.
You mentioned that you've been with a variety of teams, from the Rockies, Athletics, Angels, Dodgers. Do you sort of take a little bit from each of those experiences and then try and make it a part of your own game and later a part of your coaching?
Yeah. I mean, I was always one that, you know, I listened a lot. I paid attention to what people were doing, tried to see if that was going to fit whatever philosophy that, you know, I had, or whatever philosophy I was going to have later on in life. And granted, philosophies change, especially now in this analytical age. You have to be able to change and make adjustments when it comes to understanding the mechanic and everything else that goes into pitching nowadays. I mean, it's almost like you would think that pitching is a lot harder now, but realistically, it's still the same game. It's just explained differently.
Well, maybe could it be a little easier in the sense that you have tools that you didn't have before?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. The technology now is off the chart, and what we're able to get from that technology, it becomes a lot easier to show guys, because you know, every player to me is a visual person, and being a visual person, if you can see what it is somebody's talking about, it makes it a lot easier for them to understand, and it makes it easier for you to prove your point.
Your 1992 season, you were obviously only pitched 7 games that year, but you were 4-0, ERA of 1.89. Would you say that that's the best that you pitched in the major leagues?
Yeah, I was on a pretty good roll, but you know, everybody has that one dumb thing they do in their life, and that was mine, trying to do a backflip in the outfield, and it cost me a lot of progress.
Of course, you came back and won 10 games the next season in Chicago, too.
Yeah.
What of all the teams that you played with after that, which one did you enjoy the most?
I think I enjoyed my time in Chicago probably the most, just because it was my first time and the place where I had the most success.
Okay. At what point when you were pitching did you say to yourself, hey, I could make a coaching career out of this?
A lot of teachers in my family. So I kind of had a feeling that, you know, when I got older and I became more of a veteran, that younger players were kind of drawn to me, you know, kind of picking my brain and asking me what I thought. And I kind of felt that that was probably going to be somewhere that I was going to be able to excel at.
Now, after your career, you were a pitching coach with the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes in 2000. Tell me how you got into that and what your first experience coaching was like.
Well, it was, I give all that credit to Kevin Towers. I got hurt out of spring training in 1998. And, you know, Kevin Towers, I came back to spring training the next spring and ended up getting a relief. And Kevin Towers said if I ever was interested in coaching, that I should contact him because he thought I'd be a really good pitching coach. And sure enough, I contacted him, and he gave me that first job at Ranch Cucamonga. And I stayed in the Padres organization for 6 years before I went to Florida and became the Marlins bullpen coach.
It's a long time to stay in an organization, sort of waiting for an opportunity. Did you expect it to come?
Yeah, I knew that I was going to have to be patient, and it was something that the fact of the matter, I probably would have been all right staying in the minor leagues because I enjoyed working with kids that much. They were, you know, always eager to learn the new ideas that you come up with. They were always willing to try. So, I mean, it makes it a little harder here at the major league level because you have a lot of guys that are kind of set in their ways. They've had success doing it. So you kind of have to wait for your time and your moment to be able to step in there and advise them of those things.
Now, in terms of coaching, do you wait for players to come to you or do you go to them if you see something?
Yeah, I think the relationships part, especially at a major league level, has to start first. Regardless of what you've done in the past or what credibility you think you have, you don't really have it because at the major league level, you need to get to know these players and develop a bond and a communication line with them so that when you're able to, when you do come to them, they feel like they're getting the truth.
In 2008, you go to the Yankees. You have Andy Pettitte on that staff, Mike Mussina on that staff. Can you talk about working with those two specifically?
You know, I didn't really work the much with the starters as much as I did with. I spent more time with relievers. So I had Mariano, I had Jabba, David Robinson, guys that, you know, those guys. So I spent more time with them. But even just being in the same clubhouse with the Pettits and the Messinas and the Jeters and all those guys, it was an experience that, you know, one that I cherish.
You know, the team experienced a great improvement from 2008 to 2009. Can you describe that for me and what it was like to be on that 2009 World Series winning team?
Well, it all started with, you know, Cashman in the front office knowing that we needed starting pitching and for them to go out and get CeCe and A.J. Burnett and then not stop there and go get Swisher and then Mark Teixeira. I mean, I think it made all the difference in the world. I think our offense was, you know, one that made it very tough on pitchers to navigate through. And then our starting pitching, when you have a guy like CeCe that you knew was going to give you 7-plus innings every single day, and then you had a Mariano Rivera at the back end of the bullpen, you knew that, you know, games that CeCe came out of or whoever of the other four starters came out winning, the game was going to be over.
Please describe your time when you went from the Yankees to the Diamondbacks and then back to the Yankees.
An eye-opening experience. Having been in the Yankees organization since for 2008 and never being on a team that was under 500, it made it pretty tough to go to the Diamondbacks, who were basically in a rebuild mode and losing 100 games the first season. Got a little better the second season, but not to where the standards that you would like to see done at the major level, and was let go there, and then you know, good thing that Cash enjoyed my time here the 6 years I was here and brought me back here, and I've been here ever since.
Can you tell me what a bullpen coach does exactly?
Well, I mean, it's basically an extension of the pitching coach. You know, philosophy-wise, I try to reinforce whatever philosophies he has with the pitchers and kind of, you know, put my own take on it with pitchers that I have a better relationship with because I'm with them more than the pitching coach is, and just offer insight. So other than that, you know, phone rings, I answer it. I tell whoever's in the game, he's in the game, and get him ready to face those the hitters he's got to face.
It sounds as though you enjoy the mechanics of being a pitching coach. Do you ever have an aspiration to manage?
No. I mean, that's something I've never really thought of. I love what I'm doing. You know, I don't really see that opportunity, you know, appearing. But, I mean, if it did, it would be definitely something that I'd be interested in.
if you had to reflect back on your close to 30 years in, or a little more than 30 years in baseball, what do you think of first?
I just think about the being human, the humble part of it for me, being gracious for the opportunity to have, being able to stay in this game for this long, because, you know, like I said before, it was a lot easier to get to this point than it has been to stay in this point. And I think the relationships that I've developed along the way have been great.
Mike Harkey, grateful for your time and attention today, and very appreciative of you doing this Sabre Oral History interview.